The Defense Department plans to have 133 cyber mission teams at full operational capability by the end of 2018. 40 of those are in the Navy, but the Navy says achieving that milestone will take a team effort. It's not just a mission for the 10th Fleet, it's Cyber Command. Vice Admiral Jan Tighe is commander of the 10th Fleet. She spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu at the Sea Air Space Conference in National Harbor, Maryland.
Certainly, the Chief of Naval Personnel and his entire manpower personnel training education system is involved in the aspects of training and education. And then the recruiting command, I think, plays a really huge role on bringing us sailors and officers that are well-suited to work in the cyber domain. And that's on the military side. On the civilian side, you know, certainly we're working really closely with Deputy Assistant Secretary for Manpower Reserve Affairs and the OCHR, Office of Civilian Human Resources, to work through what are the actual hiring strategies that we would use to bring civilian operational forces in. And I know that sounds funny and it's kind of different than what other warfare areas deal with, but I have civilians in my operational workforce and they range from architects to, you know, helping me inform maneuvers in cyberspace to tool development. And so what is the right incentives and recruiting policies and internship programs that we could be doing with the civilian workforce to bring it in that way for Fleet Cyber Command? Also, you know, I'm not the only person who needs a cyber workforce. All of our provider-type systems commands folks need to have cyber experts, and particularly cybersecurity experts, inside of their workforce as they acquire future systems, so that they're acquiring systems in the future that will be more resilient, will be more defendable. So it is for my operational workforce, but it's also for other aspects in the Navy. And then finally, you know, once you go from the recruitment, both civilian and officer and reserve and active, to actually employing the force, we have a big dependency upon our type commander, and that's Rear Admiral Matt Kohler, who has a responsibility to provide readiness for my operational forces. So that's everything from making sure we have the right training set up that's meeting the need to making sure that we have the right recruiting and retention incentives on our military side, that we're flowing the sailors and the officers to the right places, and that we're getting after the civilian hiring that we need and being able to retain all of those people. So it really is across the Navy in terms of building this workforce and getting after, you know, my most important and most valuable resource, which is the people.
I want to talk about both quantity and quality, but sure. Let me start with quantity. Admiral Rogers, the consistent message from Cyber Command and all the components, I think, has been that we're doing okay on the military side. Is the same true on the civilian side as far as just quantity?
We are, especially if we talk specifically about the cyber mission force, mm-hmm. We have some of the positions that have been newly designated for civilians. So we're sort of on the front end of that build. You know, we're in the recruitment, starting the recruitment right now. And that was a recognition that in some of those work roles, the continuity that would be provided by a civilian in them would be really good for the mission. And so after the establishment of what the teams were going to be, we actually did a transition and swapped some billets around to go from an enlisted workforce to a civilian workforce. So that has taken some time to get started. But we have 44 positions that are in the process in the near term of being, you know, advertised, recruited. And so I'm pretty excited about that part of it. So we're still in the beginning. When it comes to the rest of our workforce, those that operate, those that defend, our providers, I think we're doing, you know, a pretty good job. You know, those things that pre-existed before the cyber mission force mm-hmm. in the operation and defense of our networks. So I think we do a pretty good job on that.
People have heard different dates for initial operating capability, final operating capability. Those mean a little bit different things within the cyber workforce, right? Because these teams are fighting even sometimes, in some cases, pre-IOC, right?
That's right.
Talk a little bit about what kind of capabilities they have, even at that early stage, and how they're engaged in the fight to the extent that you can in an unclassified form.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to say that we're going to use the force that we have, mm-hmm. whether they've met all of the criteria that Cybercom has laid down for a full team. You know, they're moving as a full team to IOC, or they're moving as a full team to FOC to meet the criteria. On the IOC, it mostly has to do with the numbers of people you have, whether they have the right training, and whether they have the right mission alignment, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so largely that one, if you don't meet IOC, if you haven't met IOC yet, that may have to do with either not getting all the people assigned yet or not having the training completed yet.
Right.
And so, but that being said, that doesn't mean that some of the folks on the team aren't trained and assigned. And so if we need them in the fight, you know, we certainly can, you know, task organize within the teams to be able to go do a mission assurance mission on one of our Navy mission threads, ballistic missile defense, nuclear command and control, some of those kinds of things, or be able to use the members on the team, you know, in a not as a whole team, but as a subset of the team. So that's on the IOC. And so IOC was defined, you know, to have a place on the wall, you know, a mark on the wall to say, you know, here's the first step of IOC, and this is what it will mean. Here's the next step of FOC, having more of that capacity and including certification events for the teams, you know, to not just have been trained, but to prove in some type of an exercise that they are actually capable on mission.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't preclude us from using them in the fight today. And so, you know, your point is exactly right. We're going to use what we have to fight the fight that we have.
On the quality point, how competent is the Navy/DoD at assessing what the right skills are that you need for this workforce? And to the extent that you feel like you can properly make those assessments, how are we doing with the workforce?
I think that, you know, we're still learning in this space. We've taken multiple ratings and a few different officer communities and then our civilian population and aligned them with this mission area. And so no individual rating is aligned uniquely to cyber. And so being able to assess how that force is doing in mission based on the quality of the people coming in, I think that's still a work in progress, particularly with the cyber mission force. As Admiral Rogers has said, you know, we're getting the numbers, and particularly across the different ways that we're trying to use the cyber mission force, which is a maneuver element, slightly different than the pre-existing operate and defend forces. These are maneuver elements. Figuring out what are the right competencies coming in, or really what is the right aptitude coming in the door that we need, where these young sailors or young officers or civilians coming out of college will be not only successful but happily successful doing a particular type of work role. So we're working on some aptitude tests, much like we do in the language area, to recognize that in some cases people don't have practical experience working cyber operations. Maybe they've been in their basement, you know, with energy drinks and blue hair in the past, and that would be wonderful if it's the case. But if they haven't, it doesn't mean they don't have the aptitude. So being able to cull aptitudes, cyber-type aptitudes, out of the force that we're recruiting and align them with the different work roles that they may be best suited for is really what I'm interested in. And I think it fits very well with Vice Admiral Moran's Sailor 2025 initiative to sort of get after that and get them tailored into good positions.
Only a couple of minutes left here, but I wanted to ask you about one more topic. One of the panels here at Sierra Space, you talked about 2015 being the year of the spear phishing attack and 16 being the year of procedural compliance. Talk about what you mean by that and what your main focus areas you're going to be.
Yeah, I think what we're learning this year is, you know, through a series of various investigations or responses to activities, we are learning that there may be weakness in our actual procedures on how we are transitioning systems to our platforms or how we're modernizing our platforms. And those procedures could be either on the actual crews themselves that they have to accomplish, or it might be with contracted support, a contractor coming in and modernizing the IT system. When you look at the types of vulnerabilities that could be introduced during one of those processes where we're in transition, you know, you have to ask yourself, do we have the right procedures there to not introduce vulnerabilities? Do we have the right contracted language with the contractor that's accomplishing it to make sure that they know what is expected, what they can and cannot do as part of the contract? using thumb drives, for example, mm-hmm. plugging in their iPhones, for example. And then on the workforce that is in uniform, you know, have we prepared them with the procedures that they need to do to get underway, to go on deployment? Have we prepared them? Have we trained them? Do they know what those things are? You know, what we value is what we inspect. And do we have ways of checking that to make sure that we aren't introducing risk at the last moment to get something done that needs to be done to get systems aboard or whatever, in a way that makes it easy for the adversary to get a foothold inside of our systems just before deployment.
Yeah.
So that's where we're focusing. We're finding several just, you know, not big issues, but issues that, you know, make me realize we need focus here. And that's across the systems commands, and that's across the type commanders, to go in and take a look at, you know, do we have the right training and education? Do we have the right procedures in place to minimize our attack surface when we send forces forward?